right, here we go. We're back with another weekly Sheep Fan podcast, hosted on our very own bullshit platform through our Big Shill mics. Mine's a bit smaller now.
It's a bit too small, yeah.
Yeah.
My mic's bigger than yours.
My dad's tell is bigger than yours, and he knows Mr. T.
My dad's harder than yours.
Yeah. As you can tell, our Chris is with me. Your nostrils are bigger than mine, though.
That's not true either.
This is episode 248. As you can tell, we're from Yorkshire, although Chris has gone a bit southern on me. The format is simple. You know the score, but I'm going to say it anyway. We release a minimum of 4 shows a month. Members get full podcast plus download. Non-members get part 1 plus download. All shows are released on Saturdays and always on our private bullshit platform, sound very Yorkshire when I do that, sheepfarm.co.uk. Although they put that HTTPPPPP on front now, don't they?
You can just put it. You can put sheepfarm.co.uk.
Part one is also released on Podomatic that distribute out to Spotify, Amazon, Audible, and Apple. Please subscribe to the website for email notifications for all new shows. Although we're just about changing our, you probably don't know this, Chris, but I think I've mentioned it. We're going to change from MailChimp that we're using at the moment.
No, you did mention it, yeah, because of that, when it got flagged up, wasn't it?
We got banned. They turned it off, basically, because we did that podcast with Gareth. Yeah. And turned it off, then turned it back on with no explanation, just an apology saying, you're okay, you've passed Chinese communist Starmerism. You're okay to go on. Well, fuck you, I'm not using you anymore. You know what? Intuit, I think I mentioned this at the time, Intuit, who were the parent company, run by a woman who was, I think, a young global leader. She's certainly on the board of something of the World Economic Forum. So that just tells you, when we're using these companies, who they are. I still don't use PayPal. Hate them with passion.
Well, since it banned, cancel his account.
They closed one of my businesses down.
Well, also, I think I might have mentioned this the other week.
Cost me a lot of money.
And I got a load of random messages on my Instagram account. I think I told you, I don't think I mentioned it on there. From 2022, I think it was July 2022, which I think coincides around that PayPal time.
It was May 2022 when they turned us off.
Right.
But it went on for a while,
Well, so basically, I got two lots of, messages, like 12 in each one, 12 right. to 15, I think. And they were all from 2022, from, I think, June or July.
Bastards.
Yeah. But I mean... If you that means it's linked. It's all linked for some
reason.
It's all
intertwined. Anyway, so
live show.
You can join us on Instagram and info@sheepfarm.co.uk. Thanks for buying supplements, Elf Bunker. Remember, use the promo code in the description. It's always in the description. People email me and say, where do we get the promo the code from? 25% off supplements for listeners. It doesn't matter whether you remember or not. It's always in the show notes, always. Our email is at info@elfbunker.co.uk if you want any more info on that. Chris's gaping gobs.
I put a new one just to go straight to the shop. No, the reason I say that is because I've put a new...
Where are you looking when you say go straight to the shop?
The link you had there, you pressed it and it just went to one of my sculptures.
Ah, I get your drift.
That one goes to the whole shop.
It goes to the homepage?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
It didn't really matter, but if you go down a bit, I've just put a new... The bottle
up. Down a bit.
I'm wiping my face.
That's a proper 50-year-old thing, isn't it?
You go down a bit.
That's what you do with your mouth, isn't it? I'm
doing
it
with my
mouth. Fucking idiot. do you know that I made a bottle up and I brought it up to the live show? Being the lazy twat I am, I've never bothered putting it on the shop, but it's just a Sheep Farm logo. And the cork bottle stop. Right. So I've put a little combo of the bottle up, bottle home, a bottle stop, and a badge.
Okay.
Right. I think I've got a discount code of 10% if you put in Sheep Farm as well.
Well, send it me and I can put it on.
I'm pretty sure there is.
We are going to make a few changes to, I think I mentioned a month ago, we're setting up a video player.
Yeah.
So we've been umming and ahhing now to what to do with the video player. Now it's working. I'm just waiting for the chap that helped me do it so we can upload the video version. So if you're listening to this, you'll be seeing either in the audio. But if you, what we've decided is, members will get an option of a video version, or and the better download it, or an audio version.
Yeah, that's a great, way of doing it.
So for £2 a month now, you're getting actually a video version as well.
Yeah.
Also, there's going to be a pay-as-you-go part to it as well, where you can download a video version.
Yeah.
As well. So we're trying to make it open to more people, if you like. But I quite like, forget the £2 a month. I quite like the private members type thing.
Yeah, I do.
Because I think, as we're seeing at the minute with what's going on, I don't think we will be allowed to put shows on like this on some of these platforms, as MailChimp have still highlighted by banning an email. Yeah. Bear in mind, I've been using them for 7 years.
Yeah,
it's weird because they sent me an email, right, saying, this were around the same time. You've been on MailChimp for 7 years. Would you like to recommend us, or would you like to give us some feedback on our... It's around about the same time.
Yeah, it just shows how automated
it was. No, I'll tell you when it was, Chris. It was when they banned it and turned it back on. They sent an email.
They asked for some feedback.
That's some feedback. How they dealt with it.
It's insane now, isn't it? You buy anything, right? And you get an email saying, because you spend 20 minutes to send us some feedback. I haven't even fucking got the thing I ordered yet.
I've never used it either. The only thing you can give feedback on is it were delivered and it's in one piece.
Yeah.
Then it looks like what I've ordered. Yeah.
Sometimes before it even arrives.
Yeah. I can't give feedback on it because I've not tried it.
Oh, you ring something and it said, at the end of this, are you press 1 if you want to give feedback and 2 if you don't want to do a shell small. Why would it decide now, you knobhead? Yeah. I ain't even done the thing I'm doing.
Anyway, we digress. So go to sheepfam.co.uk if you want to listen to podcasts. The shop's there, the merch store's there. Everything's there if you like. Anyway.
Oh, another one as well, just to shilly sell something. Well, not sell something, but I put a T-shirt of the live show we did on Saturday. I put the flyer on a T-shirt.
Nice segue, Chris.
Price, just so if anyone wanted a little souvenir T-shirt for that event, there's one there.
Nice segue into the Backyard Comedy Club. It's weird because my mates from Caribbean, when they go back to, say, Jamaica or Barbados or whatever, I say, where are you going? They go backyard.
Yeah, it is a Jamaican terminology, isn't it?
Yeah, going back a yard, man. Yeah.
Anyway, it was good. So,
the live show. Just under 260 people, I think, turned up.
It was
for the live show. It was full anyway. Yeah. It were really good. Fun. A really different experience, wasn't it?
Mm. It was. Because I really enjoyed it.
We used to our live show up here. We used to doing them. It's an all day thing. Which that's there were no better or worse. It was just different. I think we can confidently say we'll probably do another one.
Yeah,
we'll definitely do another one. Should I say?
Well, I think I should probably get in touch with him now and think of another one for next year or something. Mm.
Yeah, I'm going to hold off doing any more stuff until I finish this book. To be honest with you,
yeah,
getting the presentation together takes quite a while, and that then means I'm not doing another couple of chapters of the so that delays that side of it, which is another project I need to get out of the way. I'm actually enjoying the process though. But anyway, we're talking about Backyard Comedy Club.
I tried to talk to everyone. Thanks. Sorry, if it was a bit elusive sometimes, but there's so many folk talking to you. The hardest part of it for me were doing them frigging tickets on the door. Because I didn't really think about it, and I went out on my own there.
Didn't put any thought into it?
With a list of 200.
Can't believe that, Chris.
And then the queue started, and then there was 250 people there. And the guy, Danny, who ran it, he kept telling me off for being too slow. Seb were there telling me I was fucking useless as well, because I was talking to people instead of going through tickets.
Yeah, but you went into Jewsbury Market Trading.
I went into what is it? Greeting mode, didn't I?
Just went to Jewsbury Market Trader.
So I was going, Dad, just give me the sheet. Just let me do it.
Let me do it proper. And you know, if Seb's actually trying to organise you, you're shite.
I'm failing somewhere, aren't I?
it was a really good day. We met some really nice people. Like I say, you can't meet everybody, sadly. and I know people want a conversation with you. Ah, that's special, really, to be honest with you. You haven't really missed much having a conversation with me and Chris.
No. But really. It's lovely to see everyone, because we've done now, we do more, and you're getting to know and see people over and over again. And it's
what the good thing about that one was, there were a lot of people who we'd never seen.
Yeah, well, yeah,
cause that, that was different. a good one.
And a couple of groupies. Yeah. You know who you are.
rather worrying. Too old for that.
No, business. But it's really good fun. I really enjoyed it. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Came out feeling good. Bit knackered when I got home, but I was up boozing till God knows what time. My son was there and Lou was there as well. And then we went down when it all ended. Everyone had gone. Went to Brick Lane for a curry.
Right. I'd like to thank. I think I'm going to destroy this name. Yogis, I think she's called, or Yogis. She's from Sierra Leone. They own a beehive. Was that right? Where? How do you?
I'm sure there's a bigger word than that.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
In Sierra Bee Leone. Farm. Yeah, anyway, they make honey, anyway, honey farm, let's call it a honey farm. And I know she gave me two jars, and I actually ended up with both of them. So,
all right, what makes a change, doesn't it? I usually get everything.
Well, yeah, what wine did you end up with?
I got a bottle of wine, I got, someone gave me a book, a numerology book. I got a jazz record, which is still in the cellophane because I dare open it. And, a lady gave me this pendant as well, which I'm wearing.
Right.
Said it stops EMFs.
Right. How come I didn't get one of them?
Don't know. Thanks for that, by the way.
I've got some pendants like that. Some of you
I've now got two Sheep Farm gifts. That one that Robert gave me with the Sheep Farm logo on it, and I've got that as well. It's really nice.
Robert's from Kleckmundwike.
Yeah. Where we grew up. We met loads of lovely folk. Really good. Yeah.
Anyway, this Yogis said, I hope you've had time to have some of the organic honey. I have, from your maternal ancestral homeland, which has been used for medicinal purposes from time immemorial. It would be good to hear your feedback. Well, my feedback is, in fairness, I have actually tried it. So I've been eating it. I've been taking it every day. It tastes like, it's got a smell of molasses to it, which is probably from the land. It's been...
It's probably because it's proper honey as well.
It's raw honey, organic raw honey. And it tastes bloody lovely. I mean, we used to call it black treacle. I used to give it the horses. The horses used to have it because it were good for their respiratory system.
Well, I will say, if you get, when I suffered from that nasal infection and getting sore throats, if you get proper honey and you have a spoonful of it, it just feels beautiful on your throat.
Manuka honey. I eat a lot of manuka honey. Which is, and I mentioned that to Yogis, and she basically said this is miles better, simply because.
Did you do a geek sniff?
Yeah. simply because it's probably more genetically aligned, if you like. Somebody gave me a sheep farm cup as well, because they got you a bottle of wine. He gave me a sheep farm cup.
That's a fellow that gave me the jazz record.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Cause you said you're always moaning, you never get up.
I'm not moaning, I don't care. But it's nice to have some gifts. And a lady gave me a book as well. I'll hold it up, actually. This is the type of thing that you ought to be doing. It's called The Tales of a Poisonous Onion, which is, it's all drawings like cartoons. You should have got this to have a look at, really, Chris.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And it's all about the 2020... nonsense.
Oh, wow. It's put into a
lockdowns.
Comic.
Yeah. I mean, there's Sir Bill Gates and Mr. Fauci.
I have so many ideas for comics that I never do.
I know. But it's very good. It's weird you forget some of this stuff as well, like Colombia just stayed open and Australia was spraying people with pepper spray. How does that work?
Yeah, I remember that. I've got that jazz record there, fine. It's that one.
Right, okay.
Weldon Irvine is called.
Right.
And apparently it was Nina Simone.
He's got my haircut.
Yeah. Or lack of. He was Nina Simone's band leader.
The honey that we're talking about is called Natura.
All right.
They do a lot of different products as well. Might have to ask him. He might be able to sell it on Health Bunker. Lovely stuff. It is. I love honey anyway, so my wife's been eating it as well.
I'll give you money, honey, if that's what you need to make you want to be with me.
And on that note, we're going to leave you there. I hope you enjoy this episode. We actually spoke this week to famous footballer Matt Letizia.
Yeah, he was lovely. Really nice guy.
Yeah. He's definitely jumped over the fence like a lot of people we've talked to and run through the fjords with Heide. Mm. Like I said, Mike Eden had.
Mm. I really nice conversation with him, wasn't it?
I think them guys now are on the other side of the hillside.
Other side of Pennines.
Yeah, other side of Pennines.
Jump the fence. The gun.
The gun. Yeah. Like a starting gun, definitely. I mean, I always say I'm glad I didn't have that download in 2020, but when I see them guys, you know, I bet it were a beautiful thing to go through as well. It's been painful, you know, the grief they probably got from different areas of their own personal lives.
Yeah.
But I bet it were a beautiful thing to have all that at once. We had it in piecemeal over 25 years, you know?
Mm. I never bought into any of that COVID nonsense.
No. No, you knew straight away that it were just like we're going to talk about in part two, what's going on now with the stuff that's happening in Manchester and what have you. Anyway, let's leave it there. I hope you enjoy this chat with Matt Letizia. I think he'll be coming on again. I think he actually said keep in touch and
hopefully
he'll come on again because it's a really good chat. We didn't actually chat that much about football. You answered asked him more about football than I did.
It's because I know nothing about it.
Yeah. And you're what did I say? You're as sporty as Lily Savage.
Yeah.
All right then. We're out. Thanks for tuning in. If we see you in part two, we'll see you there. If not, bye.
Bye.
All right. Welcome back to the Sheep Fan Podcast. This is episode 248.
Yep.
And today me and Chris are joined by, I can't really say, is you're a new truther because it's 5 years. Can you believe it's 5 years since 2020?
Mm. It is unbelievable how quickly the time has gone.
But we're joined by Matt Letizia today, and we're going to try probably not talk about football that much because Chris has got absolutely zero interest. Although he has got some football questions for you, Matt, which I'm quite shocked at. Yeah.
Well, no. What it was, Matt, my good friend Alan, who I work with, he's a massive football fan, and he's not interested in any podcast me and Dom do, and he's not he's half interested in the conspiracies. But I thought if he anyway, I mentioned you were coming on, and his neck nearly broke. He turned around that quick. And he went, what? And he thought I was winding him up. And I said, no, we've got Matt Letizia on. And he's like, yeah. And his exact words were this, because I wrote them down, was that you were the most gifted player of your generation. Yeah.
Wow.
And then he said, I said, do you want anything you want me to ask him? And he said, does he have any regrets not going to one of the bigger clubs that were after him?
No regrets.
No, good. I said that. I don't know anything about football, but I said I doubt he would have. But there you go, Alan.
Did Man United ever come in for you?
Not that I knew of during the time that I was playing, but I did have a conversation with Sir Alex Ferguson a few years ago in the boardroom at Southampton. And he said that when Eric Cantona left Man United, he said that he made a couple of inquiries to people about the chances of me getting me out of Southampton. And both the people that he spoke to, and I don't know who those people were, but both of them said to him, you've got no chance, he just loves it down there. So
you never even got the opportunity to answer him, did you?
So he didn't. Yeah, he didn't bother trying. Right. It would have been no anyway. It's fine.
I like that. I can't even call it stubbornness, that single-mindedness. That you know, when he's somewhere comfortable, why move?
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, I've always in my life put personal happiness above a few extra quid in the bank.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said for that, really.
Show some wisdom, that does, Matt.
It does. Especially, I mean, in this generation now, everything's about how much you can get signed on for a big team for and that five-year contract. And then they seem to retire.
Yeah, I know. It's strange. The football clubs have got to be a little bit careful because they just take away, I think, by giving players so much money so early, kind of takes a little bit of their motivation away from them. You know, they've got everything they ever dreamed of. You know, they sign a 5-year contract, which means they'll never have to work again in their life, even if they never kicked another ball after that contract. And you do wonder, you know, it takes a special kind of person to not let that affect their determination to go and be the best player they can.
Yeah, I mean that football is a mirror of life, isn't it? And I suppose the TikTok generation that sums up really that generation where they've got no longevity in anything. It's over in a second type of thing.
Yeah, no, very much so. Very much so.
I mean, there are a few talking about football players out there, like Ronaldo's probably one of the main ones who's still at, I wouldn't say at peak levels, but still looks well and still trains and plays hard and still playing international football as well.
Yeah, he's incredible. The longevity that he's had in his career, the way he's looked after himself has been he's been a model pro. He really has, and it just goes to show, you know, what you can do if you look after yourself and don't eat like I did.
If I got given that bunch of cash at a 20-year-old, God knows what would have happened to me.
I know,
I'd have gone
yeah,
right off
no,
the
as I
rails.
said, it takes a special kind of mentality to be able to have all that stuff and still have the motivation to go out and do your job.
And the fame as well. I mean, the limited amount when we do live shows, there might be 200 people there who want to shake your hand. I mean, you've got had this all your life. I struggle with it. I really do. I feel embarrassed and I'd prefer to be in here in this little cave out of the way. Other people are lovely, by the way. It's just, I don't like the adulation.
Yeah, no, it affects different people in different ways. I've always been fairly ambivalent to it. I'm quite happy if I walk into a room and no one recognizes me. But I'm also, by the same token, if everyone recognizes me, I'm happy to spend time speaking to them, shake hands, have photos, whatever needs to be done.
But you can understand, like young kids now signing, say, a big contract for Man City, for instance, at 16-year-old, and all of a sudden they're already a superstar, or think they are, and the career's sort of over at that point, isn't it?
Well, it shouldn't be, but it there is that possibility if the player doesn't have the right mentality towards it.
I actually think though the hunger in everybody's been stripped out of us, and even more so since 2020. It's been stripped the desire. That pride in yourself, dare I say pride in yourself. Not the rainbow pride, I'm on about the real pride, has been stripped out. No, the attention to detail or the drive for to make things better has just disappeared.
Yeah, no, I completely get that. I mean, I think it's probably got something to do with the nonsense that you see on the television, you know, all the television programs that, you know, can make people famous just by doing stupid things on reality TV programs. And people think that that's the way that they can make their fortune.
And now you don't even need to be on TV, do you? Because I remember when we stayed in, we've gone on holiday, so we stayed in a hotel. My wife will say to me, "Oh yeah, she's an Instagram, whatever. She's got 300,000 followers on Instagram or 1 million followers." You don't even know who these people are anymore.
No, it's a whole different world, and one that I've struggled to adapt to, I think, on occasions. There are certain things that you say on social media that could be construed in the wrong way.
Yeah, we will get to that because that's probably a big part of probably why we're talking now. Because you probably never envisaged in your life that you'd be talking on shows like ours, for instance. In fairness, I never thought I'd have a podcast like this. So we're in the same sort of boat in a way. But
Yeah, no, absolutely, very much so. It's incredible the turns that life takes and the roads it leads you down. You just never know where you're going. So it's good to have a like an outline plan of where perhaps what you want to do in your life, but life throws you curveballs sometimes. You just got to roll with it.
Yeah, you've got to do. You've got to. I'm writing a book at the moment about the 2020 nonsense. You won't know this if you haven't listened to any of the stuff that we do, but I do a lot of the genealogy on a lot of the really famous people, the people that are running the shit show. Like, say, even Cristiano Ronaldo's got a royal heritage. He's
Do you
related.
really?
Back to the King of Spain, I do believe, off the top of my head. So I find it quite intriguing when you follow the paths back. And some friends of ours, I do a lot with the mu people in music and things like that. You tend to find one member of a band is the one that's sort of like the reason, the r real reason that they're there in public eye, if you like. And so, yeah, anyway, and one of the people that's in the book is Rishi Sunak. And obviously, he's a Southampton fan, and you were his hero.
I like the way you use the word in the past tense there.
So, did you inspire him then, Matt?
I got to meet him a couple of years ago, which was interesting.
Was he still in a box?
When I envisage me, or in a box, when I envisage meeting him, it's like all them guys, you know, can you remember the Antil mob coming out of that car? That's how I think of him as one of those.
It was very interesting. He was at the game when Saints got relegated from the Premier League, not last season, but the time before.
Right.
And it was the... he was sat kind of about, I don't know, 15, 20 metres to my left. And there was a very lovely picture that went out on social media because somebody had taken a photo of me in the stand. So I was in the background of the picture and Rishi was in the foreground. You can see the gap between us and I'm looking at him and the expression on my face is just going, what the hell are you doing here? it went a bit viral, that one.
Obviously was on a booster seat. but isn't it interesting that he could see you as his, I suppose, hero, childhood hero, and yet the turn of events, and that's actually what 2020 did, isn't it? Where the people who were, a lot of people who were friends, who you thought were friends, actually became arch enemies. And it's never, a lot of them people have never gone back to that where you were before. Some have, some you never fell out with, but. That was a strange phenomenon.
I did quite well, I think. I managed to come out of it pretty unscathed in terms of losing friends and family members. You know, I think there were a few at the time that thought I was a bit, that I was going a bit mad. But quite a few of those have actually come back to me now and gone, sorry about that a few years ago. We didn't realise what was happening. And now we do.
Do you find a lot of people like say have that mindset? Still, though, don't look at the whole picture. They just view that one thing as a scam, maybe. But yet, all the other stuff is not part of that whole. My father-in-law thanks me for him not getting all the jabs of me and my mother-in-law and not being involved in all that, and me wife's sister and her husband. In fact, more to the point, they were getting married, and he stood up when he were getting married and said, because of Dom, I didn't get the jabs, and everyone looked at me like, obviously, they'd have probably all got the jabs, but... but they can't see the whole picture, because I will get people like my father-in-law coming to me and say, oh, I watch BBC and this Russia and Ukraine. I'm thinking, yeah, but it's all part of the same mix.
What if I can ask Matt, what was your story then, how you jumped over the fence, if you like? Because even my mate Alan, who's a massive football fan at work, he didn't know what happened to you. He just knew you'd gone off the TV.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because I use it, he's good at giving me a layman's point of view sometimes, and he didn't know anything about that. Just like he didn't know about the matches through London in the lockdowns and stuff, because these are the things that he doesn't see, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because I've kind of got to learn over the last few years that everybody's perception of reality is very different. And also what you're fed through your social media channels, through the television, it can all very much warp your thinking.
Yeah, 100%.
And so I've become quite patient with people, actually, because you kind of don't know the journey that they've been on, what information that they see. You know, you see very different information to other people, and you base your opinions on that, and they don't get to see that if they're, you know, if their algorithms of their social media don't show them those things.
I mean, in 2020 you definitely left the reservation, so to speak.
I definitely did. I left Planet Normie and went on a bit of a journey and had a very big wake-up call. I kind of knew a long time ago that you couldn't trust a politician, for instance. I think I realised quite soon after 9/11 that a plane can't really bring down buildings like that, and certainly not the controlled demolition of the building number 7 that happened.
No, what brought that down was a bandana and a passport.
Incredible
fireproof one. Yeah,
imagine all that, and then finding one of the passports of the terrorists. Yeah. It's just an incredible coincidence, and that is what I have come to realise, that there are no coincidences, and there is a lot of stuff that goes on. You know, I. false flag events are something that I've come to understand a lot more, and how they're used, and everything kind of makes sense now to me. Whereas before, things were happening, and I'm going, well, why is that happening? Why is that? And that's all a bit strange. Why are they doing that? And I didn't really have a clue. But when you understand the bigger picture around it and what they're trying to implement, and trying to get us all into some kind of slave system, you can now understand why and how they use the false flags.
Yes, yeah.
There's just, I don't know if you've seen this YouTube, but there's just been an attack in Manchester today. I saw it on the news just before it came on.
I heard it on the radio, yeah, when I was in my car coming back.
Two killed in a synagogue, apparently. And then the person who did it's dead as well. I don't know how. He was literally on rolling news on the one just on YouTube when I was just before I came on. So I don't know what's happened there, but I'm very limited to believe in most Muslim terrorist attacks these days. As usually there's some form of shenanigans around them, whether someone dies or not. They usually look pretty dodgy to me.
I'd have to agree with that. I tend to not react immediately to that kind of stuff anymore, and just sit back and watch it play out, and then makes it a bit easier to try and work out what's going on.
And just don't get worked up with it.
When you see what those how the news portray the story in the first place, and then see the news that follows up with that to understand what they're trying to implement on the back of that incident that's just happened. I
It's very
think
clever
that's
though, because on even on the small few minutes I watched, like before when we have these things, it was all about how fantastic the community is and how they all get along and how they live next door to each other and all this stuff. That's all they were talking about. Because then you've got someone at home going, "Yeah, but it's always them bloody Muslims, isn't it?" And they're thinking they're working out on their own, but they're not working anything out of it. They're just reacting to exactly how the TV wants them to react, which
Yeah,
is.
exactly right. That's why I turned off the news channels on my television about 5 years ago, funny enough.
Yeah, it's weird that. I wonder what brought
I
that
can't imagine. The
on.
fear I was fed up of fear porn.
It became unwatchable, didn't it? It actually gave you a nauseous feeling at some point,
Well, one, it gave you a nauseous feeling. Two, it hurt your head. And it hurt your head with the nonsense information that used to go through it. And I watched the news, must be over a decade now. It's got to
If
be.
you stand talking to someone and they're lying into your face, eventually you just go, "You know what? I'm going to go." I'm just going to walk away because I can't listen to this.
But there's got that much power, as in financial and people. So that guy retires or has been sacked for Jimmy Savile and someone. We'll just put someone else there, and it's just constant. These faces that appear on TV pushing the same na narrative. And I know you were asked to push certain narratives in your career at Sky, weren't you? That you
I
didn't
was,
agree with.
yeah, we were asked to wear a Black Lives Matter badge
Yeah.
when we went back to work when the Premier League season restarted after it had shut down in 2020, and I wasn't very happy about that.
I
So
wouldn't have been either.
yeah, I think
And
that's
we're part black.
I think yeah, I think that was the first domino to fall in my sacking. That was the first warning, I think, that was marked against me for daring to stand against an agenda.
I often
How does that
oh,
work
sorry.
though, Matt? Does someone come to you and say, "I need you to wear this Black Lives Matter badge?"
It was exactly that. The producer of the show came up to us, and it was only about a minute or so before we were due to go on air. So it was like really thrust upon us late on. And when he gave it to me, I was like, do I have to wear that? And he looked at me and he just went, it's in your best interest if you do.
Fucking
Which
hell.
would immediately make me not wear it as well, to be fair.
And I was like,
That
and then we're just about to go on air, and I was like, okay, I'm not gonna have an argument about this now. So I did it. And then when the show finished, I was like, I've been fuming all afternoon. I'm not happy with this at all. So I took it off.
and
I gave him the badge back, and I went, look, I said, I'm never gonna be wearing that again. I said, don't mind what those people stand for. Not happy with that. If you want me to wear the kick racism badge out that we wear and we support, because I always supported that, I said, that's absolutely fine. I said, but you'll never get me wearing that badge again.
No, I think that turned out right as well, Matt.
Well, I think when you see what happened with the guys that run that organisation and where the money was going to, and how lovely their houses are, you start to realise that you're probably on the right side of history with that decision.
If people want to fund giant crack dens, let them do it. Basically,
There you go.
there's a which other is the other footballer now that's come out? Is it Lambert?
Is it the Scouse guy? Ricky,
yeah. Yeah, Ricky Lambert, yeah.
Yeah, he's jumped over the fence and run through the fields with Heidi, hasn't
he? He has, yeah. He's a mate of mine, yeah. I've known Ricky a few years now. We get on very well.
Yeah, he seems a good lad.
Really good lad.
Yeah. He can talk. Well, I've listened to him a few times. You know, when you see you guys playing or when you see anybody in the public eye, you never. I bet people come to you say, "Well, you just sound like you do on TV, don't you?" What do you expect me to sound like?
I know, yeah. Do you think I'm putting that on?
What were the big thing then in 2020 that really tipped you over?
I think it was the series The Fall of the Cabal.
Right, yeah.
Which kind of really, when I watched that, I was like, oh my God. All the things that I've thought about down the years, this puts them all in an order and makes me understand how this all works. And you don't realise just how massive the corruption is at the top end of society and how they're all connected. Yes. And as you mentioned with your genealogy stuff, I mean, I'd love to have a longer conversation with you at some other point about who's related to who, because I've heard some stuff about people in the music industry that are all, you know, somehow related. And
but fire a name to me.
People you wouldn't expect. So people like Madonna.
Madonna, she's related to George Bush.
There you go.
She goes back through Barack Obama as well. Ellen DeGeneres, she's related to her. She's cousins with Lady Gaga. She's cousins with Justin Bieber. This just happens by accident, Matt. There's about 20 people. 20 people she's related to.
Taylor Swift, there must be something with Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift's got a royal genealogy. I've done her genealogy. She definitely got a royal genealogy. And generally military connections as well. Intelligence connections. For instance, Stuart Copeland is a prime example of that, of the police.
Drummer.
He was the drummer. So his father, Miles Copeland, had the highest echelon, highest clearance on D-Day highest echelon clearance on D-Day. So he was one of the main men that with the plan going in D-Day. He became the station chief for the CIA in the Middle East, toppling governments, assassinations, et cetera, et cetera. So that's Stuart Copeland in the police.
Interesting.
And his mother was a part of the SOE as well, which became MI6. So she went behind enemy lines in World War II.
Wow.
Stuart Copland, as Mark says.
Yeah, Stuart Copland. Yeah. and they've got royal genealogy going back as well. And you tend to find that there is definitely a link going back. And a lot of the black superstars as well, like Prince or Michael Jackson, who was the other one? Beyonce, are more white than black. Upset quite a few people when I told them that. They've got royal genealogies going back through the plantations. When I'm down here doing this sort of work and you're on your own at 12 o'clock at night, like a sad bastard, floor's creaking, I think, should I really be doing this? We're tapping into the matrix somewhere.
It is amazing when you stop to realize.
What started us was I started doing research. The first one with me and Chris did was Matt Wancock.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And so, although he ain't got a royal genealogy, you tend to find that he was. We think of him, don't we, Chris, as some kind of Nazi commandant who's willing to do anything and follow the orders yeah. of the day. And people like Chris Whitty was the next one, whose father was an intelligence officer with the British Council, and he got assassinated in Greece.
Wow.
By Arab terrorists. Supposedly mistaken for an MI6 agent in a Ford Escort. Yeah. The list just goes on and on and on and on.
It's fascinating stuff, isn't it?
It is.
Fascinating.
Nadeem Zahawi's grandfather was the governor of the Bank of Iraq.
Oh, wow.
Hmm.
That is incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm just giving some highlights there, but it's
highlights.
Highlights, yeah.
It's one big club and we ain't in it.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Chris has had some badges made up saying it's a small club and we are in it.
So, what kind of things have got you interested at the minute then, Matt?
The digital ID is the big thing at the moment that needs pushing back against, because I think
Did you?
if we submit to that, I think that's almost game, set, and match.
I signed the petition actually, and I put it on our Instagram. But then people are like, I'm not signing anything like that because it's putting me on a register or blah blah blah. And I know I can see where people, I can see where you're coming from with that kind of thing. But if we're on a register, we're on it anyway now. Anyway, it's not going to make
Oh
any
my
difference
God,
if you sign a
yeah. I
petition
mean,
or not.
yeah, your
You're
details are somewhere on the
too far
government's
into
website.
it. Yeah, exactly. So worrying about signing a petition is probably the wrong way to worry about it. At
Yeah,
least you feel like you're doing something. At least that.
and I'm quite happy for them to know that I'm completely against everything that they're doing.
Yeah.
Bring it on. Bring it on, I say.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing you can do. We're not here long enough to worry about it. I mean, you've got to do what's right on you. I think that's kind of the problem with a lot of things you see going wrong with the world now. No one's got any principles anymore, have they? They're just happy
Yeah.
to roll over
Isn't
and
that the
say,
truth?
fine.
Yeah, very much so. But yeah, I've come to realize as well, because like back in 2020, when you had we were locked down and the rules were in place, I pretty much broke every one of them rules, by the way.
Yeah, me too. What rules?
No doubt is them. But it gave you a lot of time to sit and reflect and think. And I kind of went, I was kind of hyper focused on all the nonsense that was going on, and I've actually come to realize at that point I was kind of neglecting my family a little bit, and so I had to reevaluate things, and now I make sure that try to make sure that you spend time with the family and you enjoy life, because as you said, we're not here for a very long time. If you spend all that time being bitter and fighting your enemies all the time, it's not going to be much of a life. So you've got to have a bit of balance in life, I find.
You've got to have a bit of
100%.
a chuckle, haven't you? You've got as well. You know,
Oh,
you
yeah.
I view us now as observers, and I went through a period going back 10 or 15 years where you start realizing that the whole things are set up
Yeah.
and it's skewed. And you do get a little bit angry. There's certain stages that you go through where you become an evangelist and you're trying to convince everybody that you've got to believe me, and all this type of thing. But you come out of that stage, don't you?
Yeah, well, I found out early on that actually people didn't like being told facts. They didn't like that. That
No.
offended their feelings. And so I actually stopped quite early on, trying to educate people and give them some facts, because they were getting a bit upset about that. So I just, instead of giving them facts, I just started asking them questions. And that was a far easier way of not falling out with people, number one. And secondly, trying to get them to think for themselves and trying to understand, why are these things happening? I used to go, can you just explain to me why when you go and sit in a pub, you can take your mask off, but if you stand up and go to the toilet, you've got to put your mask on. Could you just explain that to me? And then and I just left it at that then, and then leave them floundering for an answer. And it's far more effective for them to start thinking, oh, actually, that's a bit stupid, isn't it?
The dreaded COVID lair. It's about 5 foot high.
And can you explain to me why the pub's at the shut at 10 o'clock? Did the virus only come out after 10 o'clock? If indeed there ever was a virus.
That all that green smoke and steam that it came out at 10 o'clock, breathing on everybody.
Oh,
But
the
I mean,
propaganda was through the roof. It was incredible.
do you know what's just standing back and even looking at it now? One, it was very powerful, I found. Not actually the propaganda, but the feeling. Because of the realization, everything I'd thought for the last 20, 25 years was true. Right, that dawning, that was a very satisfying feeling. I don't know if anybody listening thinks that, but that's how I felt.
Well, you could choose your positives and your negatives out of it. Like Matt said, it made him realize I need to spend a bit more time with my family. I think I probably went through the same realization as well because I was working as a head chef, not just prior towards that, working my nuts off, stupid hours. I don't do that anymore.
Did that family include me?
No, not you.
Good answer.
Moved all the way down south to get away from you.
Where are you, Chris?
Cambridge
Oh,
and
okay,
Dom's in
that's
Huddersfield.
not south. That's north from where I'm sat.
You're proper safe.
I'm on par from that last week, actually. I was up in St. Neots.
Ah, yeah. Right. Yeah. I think that is Cambridge, isn't it? Is it?
Yeah, it's just south of
village.
Cambridge.
Yeah, just a village just outside. Yeah. I like it. It's nice. Yeah.
How are you finding reception now, Matt? As things settle down, do you know, like when you do talks and things like that? I'm sure it were a bit bumpy in the early days, maybe. Or not.
I got cancelled from a few jobs. Right. You know, I got booked, and then a few people started complaining that, you know, I was a conspiracy theorist and I shouldn't have a platform to speak. Even though when I did my afternoon speaking, all I did was speak about football. Like, I didn't even speak about all the other stuff.
Yeah, but that's offensive, Matt, isn't it?
And they were still,
just your presence is enough.
Jobs.
Just your conspiracy presence, that's enough.
I had a few jobs, not many, like a handful. But most of the time was actually really good, and now a lot of the time I get a lot of people coming up to me and thanking me for standing my ground and for standing up for the people that actually believed the same as I did but didn't have the balls to say it, or didn't have the big platform to say it. You know, I went to Cheltenham a couple of years ago, and I was with a load of my family. I don't go in the posh bit at Cheltenham. I'm the guys there were unbelievable. You know, I was in a massive marquee and there was like hundreds of people in there, and there wasn't one person that had a bad word to say. There were loads of people come up asking for photos and, you know, saying well done for you know what you've been doing the last few years, and it was, I think it was quite enlightening actually for my family who were with me. To actually see that, how it plays out in public and how different that is from how the media try to portray me.
It actually means that there's value in what you did, doesn't it?
Mm. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. You know what? I've had people who have come up to me and said, thank you so much. If it wasn't for you, I would have taken the vaccine. And that gives me more pleasure than anything.
Yeah, that's why they came down hard on people like yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. You had a platform and a voice.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's why they tried their utmost to ridicule and discredit.
They knew the influence of people who, like yourself, who were in the public eye. I'll run a scenario. My youngest is 14. I've been saying to him, we've got a gym here. Use the gym, blah, blah, blah. And he's a fit lad and he's got a good physique. Ain't interested, right? An ex-footballer, won't mention his name, professional footballer who he looks up to, said, you need to be doing 20, 30 press-ups a day, et cetera, et cetera. He's done that for the last 3 months. But that's fantastic, by the way. But that is the influence that they didn't want on in 2020.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, also, like I said earlier about my mate Alan, who I work with, he listens to my conspiracy theories, if you like, but then with one ear. But now we've spoke to Matt, he'll listen to this one and maybe it'll take him in another direction.
Yeah.
You never know.
You better know. Do, Alan, if you're listening, or I'm going to dead arm you. but people, so let's call it celebrities. They were sparse, weren't they, at that time? There were very few. Peter Ebdon was one, I believe. Is it Peter Ebdon, the snooker player?
Yeah.
He was speaking out as well. And obviously he said Ricky Lambert as well was speaking out. But you could probably count them on two hands, couldn't you, in this country?
Yeah, I mean, we ended up actually. I joined a WhatsApp group quite early on in, you know, in all the nonsense about May or June 2020 of celebrities who were, you know, willing to speak up against what was going on, and we kind of had a little group that, you know, we just supported each other, and it was interesting. We had a couple of people that joined and then left very quickly. because I think their agents got to them and just went, you can't be involved in that. That will affect the amount of work that you get.
Yeah.
So one of them is Gary Neville.
Yeah.
And the other one was Davina McCall, right. Who both joined that WhatsApp group and then kind of left and stopped speaking out about what was going on because they were fearful of not getting work.
So their thought press were on that level then. Even Davina McCall, she'll do anything. Well, surprised she backed out.
To be fair. Head and Shoulders adverts are good.
She was selling what's that drug? Do you remember I went on about it? HRT, that
slimming drug.
No, not that.
HRT.
Yeah,
yeah.
Choosing all new, literally selling that. I mean, my cat's surprised that she backed out. sorry, Matt.
But no, it was nice to have a little group you could just retreat to, when all the bullets were coming your way.
I suppose, though, like say with Gary Neville, I mean, Rowland took 3 years. He did a one-to-one interview with Keir Starlin, didn't he? I mean, Keir
He did. It's
Starmer,
really
sorry.
interesting, isn't it? Because Gary, leading up to the general election, was very vocal in favour of Labour, and yet since the election,
He's not said out, has he?
I don't think he's said a single word about
No.
politics.
No, it's weird that, isn't it? Since we've got
Amazing.
a new communist government in.
Yeah, exactly. There he goes, shuts himself up. I've got no time for
No.
people like that, to be honest. I lost a lot of respect for a lot of people. I have a lot of people who messaged me privately who worked in the media who were saying, "Oh, I think exactly the same as you." But I can't say anything because I don't want to lose my job.
Well, you don't think exactly the same as we do then,
No,
do
you
you?
don't. No, yeah,
Because
exactly. I
would have put everything on the line not to have a jab or a mask on or whatever,
Oh,
take a test or any of
absolutely.
that nonsense, right?
Oh, I'd very happily come to terms with the fact that if they were going to tell me that I needed to get jabbed to go on holiday or leave the country anywhere, I was quite happy with the fact that I would never leave these shores again.
I never thought I was leaving.
Yeah, me
I
neither.
actually in 2020, I thought there was going to be a civil war. I've never thought about picking arms up or anything like that, and I'd probably get shit kicked out of me or shot straight away. But I thought, this is it.
Yeah.
I actually thought that. It was a strange sensation as well to think that you were actually at war with your own government.
Yeah, absolutely right.
I put one of those little, I've said this before, but you know those little hedge trimmers from my front doors here and my shed's here, and I put this hedge trimmer, which was like a long 6 foot stick with a spike on end. I put it on top of my shed and I thought, if anyone comes to the house, I have to hit them over the head with this. Like you said, I was thinking it, and I was seriously thinking it. I'm thinking, how quick can I get to that if someone tries to kick my door in to try and pin me down and jab me? That's how, I mean, so yeah, how paranoid and.
I don't think you were paranoid, Chris. I think it was good. You imagine, right? And we've mentioned this before on podcasts. In the Balkans War in the 90s, I remember watching an interview, and there were obviously subtitles under it. And basically, they were saying, "Well, last week we were lending each other as a lawnmower. This week we're throwing grenades over the fence." And it did have that feeling to it, where your neighbours, because like you've said, Chris, his neighbours said he's not outside banging pots and pans on his doorstep.
It did. I've got one at one side, Matt, who said that, and then at the other side, he's got a Ukraine flag hanging out of his window.
And then you've seen all the Union Jacks outside now as well, following the other set up and propaganda game, Tominski Robin Robinstein. I mean Tommy
Yes.
Robinson. And so all everything they're utilizing against the pop, and people can't see it. Now Nigel Farage is going to save us.
Yeah,
And
the divide and conquer is a very clever method, and they'll use any which way they can to divide people. Even in the freedom movement through the COVID times, it's amazing how everyone was like really together against the
Yes.
government, and then all of a sudden the war in Ukraine started, and then it was like, oh, we're going to take sides. Which side? Who are you supporting in this? And it's like, well, hang on a minute. Why do you support either side? Why do you,
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're both crooks.
well, yeah, exactly. And you go, well, are you going to support Israel or Gaza or what? And like,
I just don't
I
want to
don't
see
have to
anybody
support.
getting killed.
I just like to live in peace and let my government have as little to do with my life as possible. Thank you very much.
Exactly. And yeah, it's. I tell you what is a shame though, that a lot of the people we talked about, Gary Neville, who is very well spoken, I'll give him his due, right? A lot of it's a bit shite, but it's very well spoken. How and he's obviously a decent business person as well. How people like that couldn't? It wouldn't take many. Wouldn't take many people more than you or Ricky or people like that. 50 or 100 people to say, fuck you, we're not interested in our careers anymore because this is more important. You're taking away our freedom and lives, and this is about us children and et cetera, and future generations. And just stand up and have some balls. But
Exactly right.
they
Exactly
didn't.
right.
But a lot of us did. So we should be proud of that, whether we're in the public eye or not. One story I was always interested in was a few years ago. when I saw Jamie Carragher spitting on that kid in that car. I don't know if you watched that, Chris. Jamie Carragher,
you told me about it.
I told you about it when it happened about 5 or 6 years, probably way before 2020, probably 2 or 3 years before that, weren't it? And what he did, Liverpool had just lost at Old Trafford, probably one of the only times since they've lost there. And the car pulled up at side of him, and obviously a Man United fan saying, "Well done, Jamie," and he's in his car, and he spits into the car, does Jamie Carragher, and he hits the little girl who's filming it. I'm saying a little, she's probably about 15, 14, 15. Doesn't matter what age she was, still spat on her. And he never got fired. And yet, people like, say, Matt, or even Andy Gray going back in time, and the other guy, Richard Keys, Furball. Them guys there got caught off camera having a joke and got sacked for sexism and what have you. And to the point where Andy Gray, as said in interviews, he nearly took his own life.
Mm.
That's how much the system wants to destroy people like that.
Shall I ask you what they said? I don't know, because I don't know that story.
Jamie Carragher?
I don't know any of these stories. I remember you telling about this girl getting spat on.
Well, what was the Jamie? He had to leave Sky for a number of months, didn't he?
So he got put on gardening leave for a few months, and then got brought back about 5 months later, and started back as if nothing had ever happened. And that was why me and Jamie had an interesting phone call a couple of years ago. When I was actually sat right in this seat where I'm sat right now, I was called to a Zoom meeting to discuss the upcoming season in August 2020. And as I logged onto the call, and the head of football at Sky was on the call, which I was expecting, and then there was this other bloke on the call who I didn't recognise. And he was introduced to me as HR.
Right.
And at that point, I thought, "Yeah, I'm in trouble here." And that's when they told me there was no more work for me at Sky. I was very calm about it all. I kind of half expected it, to be honest. And I just said to him, "I said, has this got anything to do with the stuff that I've been posting on social media? About going against the government narratives and all that stuff." And he said, "Well, we do have to take into account the reputation of our company." With things like that. And I went, "Oh, that's interesting." I said, "Because you didn't really seem that bothered about your reputation of your company when you re-employed Jamie Carragher after he spat at that young girl in her car." And that didn't go down very well. That conversation ended quite quickly. And then, I told that story on a podcast a couple of years later, and one of Jamie's mates had heard it and told him that I'd brought this up about him spitting at this young girl. Next thing I know, I get a phone call from a number I didn't recognise, and I picked it up, and it was Jamie. And he went, "Tiz." I went, "Yes." He went, "It's Karen." I went, "All right, you're all right, mate." And he went, "No, I'm not." and then proceeded to go into about a 10-minute volley of abuse down the telephone to me, how I've embarrassed his family by bringing this up.
Ah, you embarrassed his family, right?
Yeah, yeah, I've embarrassed his family. That's when I went, "Hang on, let me stop you there a minute, Jamie. I think it might be you that embarrassed your own family by spitting at a young girl out of the car. I'm just saying, it's probably not me." And so we had this back and forth where I was very calm, and he was just throwing abuse at me, telling me how he was going to troll me on social media, and anything I put on there, he was going to be on me like a rash. And then he was like threatening me, and I was like, "Oh, come on, Jamie." I went, "I'm 53 years old, mate.
Do I give
a
shit?
Yeah. You. I'm not at school, mate. Do you know what I mean?" It's embarrassing.
So, who's going to do spit on you? I'll bloody scratch you if you do.
Nick your monster munch at Tuck Shop.
So we've yet to meet up in person since that phone call, but it could be interesting the next time we do.
Yeah,
he sounds like an angry person. I mean, I don't know who he is, but he sounds quite angry, spitting at girls and ringing you up and threatening you. Getting upset.
He's got some anger issues there for sure.
And that comment you made wasn't actually aimed at him saying anything wrong about him. It was aimed at Sky, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was just a comparison. It wasn't an insult to him.
No, absolutely not. And it was completely factual. There was nothing derogatory. I didn't have an opinion on the subject. Mm. I just asked, Sky why they thought that, that was okay for their reputation.
But from Sky's point of view, you having your own opinion is worse than him spitting in the young girl's face. That's what you're trying to get across. Yeah,
exactly right. Exactly right. That's the world we live in today.
I bet the conversation the day after he actually did that, though, at Sky between you lads, was an interesting one. See what Karen's done. Bat out of the window, kid driving.
Maybe even he thought the same thing when he were aiming at that guy and it went over his head and spiked that girl in the face. He thought, oh, shit.
No, she went in car next to the guy.
Oh, right.
So he was in his car and he spat down. Anyway, we'll be talking about spitting, what we're talking about. But he did do an emotional apology as well. I remember actually seeing that. It's one thing I did actually see. He did an emotional apology. I remember him
heartfelt
nearly
is the word
crying.
It's the heartfelt you're looking for.
Like Tony Blair did after killing a million people in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Crocodile tears.
He's been wheeled back out now.
Matt Hancock's tears on Good Morning Britain that time when he was saying how good the vaccine was.
Yeah.
Do you mean to say that wasn't true?
No. It's incredible, actually. Like, I remember at some point, something was on about the vaccines, and somebody showed me something on social media that Matt Hancock had stood up in Parliament and was asked a question. This is before they rolled out the vaccines to the kids. And he stood up in Parliament and he said, no, these are adult-only vaccines. These will not be rolled out to children. And then about 3 months later, he was like, yeah, the kids are having them. Let's give it to the kids. And I say that to people and they look at me like I've got four heads. I'm like, he just stood up in Parliament and blatantly lied. And yet everyone just goes, ah, it's all right.
Yeah. There were so many lies, though, weren't there? I mean, I've got videos of Matt Wancock crying. I've got several of them. He cried over his supposed step-granddad dying, which, when you strip it back, his step-granddad wasn't even anywhere. He wasn't even married into his family. It was somebody, an ex-wife of his dad's husband. It was just absolutely insane. Called him a step-granddad. And it's like, what? Yeah. Does anybody believe this nonsense?
You're trusting this twat to inject your kids.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got a video of him being interviewed in the Huffington Post in 2019 talking about mandatory vaccines.
Really?
Yes. And basically about childhood mandatory jabs, saying the guy asked him, do you think we should? He said, well, if the government offers you something that is beneficial, you should take it. So
you know what gets me is when they go, you know, we're going to give you the jabs and they're going to be free.
Yeah, free.
And we're going to give you a PCR test and you don't, are they going to be free? And you're like, okay, how's that being, how does that work then? Yeah. Oh, well, you know, the government will buy it. How does the government get funded? your taxes. Oh, so we are paying for it.
Yeah.
So it's even, not free, is it?
Yeah. It's even deeper than that because the PCR test is owned by Roche Pharmaceuticals, who own the patent. So Roche Pharmaceuticals are getting a chip every time somebody, a payoff every time someone uses one of those tests. But on another level, even further back than that, the Bank of England have said, oh, another 300 billion they're borrowing off us. Ah, that's who's earning the money, not us.
And exactly.
Well, like we were on about yesterday with the AstraZeneca, because I live here near the hospital. I know quite a few people work for them, mainly administration. But it didn't dawn on me till about a year ago, Matt, that AstraZeneca came out with a jibber jab. But they're cancer research, so all their money comes from cancer research. I wonder why. I mean, call me a conspiracy theorist, but there's a massive rise in cancer.
We're going to give you this jab that might give you a bit more cancer, and then we're going to roll out another jab that cures cancer. Brilliant.
Yeah. Freaking the Joker came up with better plans in Batman.
Honestly.
Well, it's the same plan, isn't it? It is the same plan.
Yeah.
Over again.
I mean, you've probably heard it, but AstraZeneca means weapons they kill. I mean, that's actually AstraZeneca and Necker means weapons they kill. That's what it translates to. I mean,
is that like NASA?
Yeah. Never a straight answer.
NASA, was it to deceive? I think NASA.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Words, yeah. Yeah. But I mean, even AstraZeneca, they're owned by the Wallenberg family, who were known as the Rothschilds of Scandinavia. Most of the children were World Economic Forum young global leaders. That's another side of this nonsense, isn't it? Where I'm doing some genealogy on Bono, Got the same answers, but he was a young global leader in 1993 with Tony Blair, Angela Merkel. You could actually write the script for the people that carried out 2020
yeah.
in 1993.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just that one year for the young global lead. It were actually called the Young Global Leaders of Tomorrow then. I think they were giving the game away too much, though, there, calling it that. So they rebranded it to just Young Global Leader.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. And the thing is, if you try telling people about all these connections, they just look at you and they think you're a bit bonkers.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it's all there staring them in the face if they want to go and look for it.
Mm. It is all there. It just left nutters like me to spend the stupid spare hours digging away. And people, have you heard a friend of ours called Mark Devlin?
Yes.
He does a lot of stuff on music.
I've heard Mark speak, and he speaks about the all the genealogy of.
That's right. Yeah, me and him do quite a bit of work together. Me and Mark, and you find a lot of the work it dovetails into each other. Like especially the politicians and film stars, even the producers and things like that, have. It's like, for instance, Sharon Tate. Her father worked in U.S. military intelligence for 26 years. Even Sharon Tate, and then you find that Charles Manson's got a similar bloodline to Sharon Tate. I'm thinking, how does that work? That cat, it's like someone's writing a script somewhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Dom, sorry, Matt, I'm going to have to go pick my nipper up from school.
Time again. I tell you what, let's leave it there. Hopefully we'll be able to chat again.
Yeah, no problem at all.
We were a bit late starting, Matt, because Dom can't send emails for some reason.
I found out what we're doing.
With big gorilla hands.
My gorilla hands, right? My gorilla fingers. I were pressing, instead of pressing MSN, I were putting MSM. Don't know why, but anyway, there you go.
And no worries.
But yeah, I'll fire over some of the sort of like documentaries me and Chris has done.
If you would, that'd be great.
Yeah, and see what you think. Let us know what you think to him. And,
yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah.
We were doing a talk, actually. I know Chris has got to go in London this week, last weekend. At the Backyard Comedy Club, or was it Lee Hurst Club?
Chris? Yeah.
Yeah, with Mark. That were really good, yeah.
Brilliant.
So we're going to be doing another one of them at some point soon. But, I'll say next year probably.
Excellent. Yeah. We'll stay in touch.
We'll put you on guest list, Matt.
Yeah. All right, then, mate. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Matt.
Nice
thanks
to meet
a lot.
You.
Good to meet you.
You take it easy. Too. No more crazy conspiracy ideas, all right?
See you later.
See you, brother.